Why the prayer of relinquishment matters. Why the prayer of relinquishment matters is what we're going to be talking about today in Quiet Time Coaching, episode 41. I'm Malcolm Cox, and thanks for joining me today as we talk about this very important topic, relinquishment in prayer. What a word, what a mouthful. Is it possible to be surrendered to God's will without feeling like a pawn? Well, Richard Foster's book has been very helpful to me recently. It's called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. The link to that book on Amazon is in the show notes if you want to go and find it. Now, we're looking at this book for the sixth time. If you haven't heard the others, go back and listen to the first five. I think you might find those useful as well. But in the most recent chapter I've been reading, Richard talks about the significance of this prayer of relinquishment, whatever that means. He quotes Andrew Murray, who said this: union with God's will is union with God himself. Let me repeat that. Union with God's will is union with God himself. Now, that being the case, how can we afford not to pray the prayer of relinquishment, getting ourselves in the state where we're willing for God's will to be done in our lives and through us? In other words, the famous prayer from Matthew 26, verse 39, that prayer that Jesus prayed, not as I will, but as you will. Easy to say, not so easy to do, even harder to mean it. So this week we'll explore why the prayer of relinquishment is so important. We'll discover the correct motivation for the prayer. But next week we'll look at how to pray, how to practice that prayer of relinquishment. So that's coming next week. But for this week, let's talk about why it really matters, the challenge of it, but also the blessings that it can bring. So firstly, of course, we've got to go to the example of Jesus. He's our inspiration in everything, no less in this prayer of relinquishment. And let's face it, without the prayer of relinquishment, without that prayer, there would be no cross. Without that prayer, no sins would be forgiven. Not mine, not yours, not anybody's. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed that prayer of relinquishment, I would say, more fully, more powerfully, more painfully than at any other point in his life. Not as I will, but as you will. As Foster says about this, to applaud the will of God, to do the will of God, even to fight for the will of God, is not difficult until it comes at cross purposes with our will. How true that is. I'm happy to pray. I'm happy to ask God to do his will. I'm happy even to fight for God's will to be done. But when it comes at cross purposes to my desires, oh my goodness, that's a different kettle of fish. The amazing example we have with Jesus is that he was prepared to pray and pray and pray on until he got to the point of relinquishment. So thank goodness for your example, Jesus. Thank you. So first of all, we have the example of Jesus. Secondly, we see that the prayer of relinquishment is the door to hope. Now, if you survey the scriptures from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, you will discover an interesting thing, that everybody's story is the same. Everybody who's called by God, their story is the same. They struggled with God. Now, Jesus is the ultimate example in Gethsemane, but what about Abraham? What about Moses? What about David? What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? What about Paul? They all struggled with God's will for their lives. But when they came to a place of relinquishment, which they all did, they discovered what? They discovered that God's will was better, that it was more glorious than the choice that they had preferred. So when we struggle and we submit to God's will and discover then his wisdom, it gives us hope for the next struggle. Because let's face it, my friends, there will be another struggle. It's how we grow. It's how God gets his will done. It's how God makes sure he gets the glory instead of us. But here's the thing. Even though he gets the glory, we get plenty of joy that comes with it. Go back and look at Abraham, Moses, David, Mary, and Paul. Weren't they glad that they relinquished their will to God's? I think they were. So we see the example of Jesus as a motivation. We see that there's a door to hope when we pray this prayer of relinquishment. But also thirdly, we see that the prayer of relinquishment means that we ready the soil of our lives, the soil of our heart, for the fruit that God will bear. We're offering God fertile soil for him to bear fruit when we pray that prayer of relinquishment. That's why Jesus said in John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When we make ourselves available to God, he is able to produce the fruit of the kingdom in us and through us. As Foster says in his book, we hold on so tightly to the good we know that we cannot receive the greater good that we do not know. God has to help us let go of our tiny vision in order to release the greater good he has in store for us. No, we don't have to pray the right prayer. We just need to pray the relinquished prayer. And then God will do what he does in our lives. And that prayer of relinquishment is a prayer of self-death that brings us into the freedom of self-forgetfulness, which doesn't negate our person, our personhood and who we are, but instead it sets us free to become all that we can be in Christ. The Apostle Paul found himself at peace with that prayer of relinquishment. As he said in Galatians 2, verses 19 to 20, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. That's a statement made by someone who has prayed that prayer of relinquishment, I would say not once or twice, but over and over and over again in their lives. Listen, if that was good enough for the Apostle Paul, I think it's good enough for me. And if it blessed him, surely it will bless me. And if it made him useful to God, surely it will make me and you useful to God. What a blessing it is to arrive here at this place of contentment, free from anxiety. So let me ask you, as I ask myself, do you have a prayer of relinquishment which needs to be prayed? In which areas in life right now do you sense a struggle? Have you prayed the prayer of relinquishment in those areas? How do you feel about praying such a prayer? What holds you back from doing so? Well, let us all know. Leave a comment here in the comment box so that we can learn from one another, because we learn best when we learn in community. And if you don't mind, please pass the link on to this recording to one other person who might benefit, and like it, subscribe, maybe even leave us a review, if you wouldn't mind. I think that'd be wonderful. And if you'd like some coaching in spiritual disciplines, then look me up on Coach Me. That's coach.me. You'll find me there, MCCX or Malcolm Cox. Do a search, you'll find me, and I'd be glad to help you with your spiritual disciplines. Well, until the next time, I hope that you have a wonderful week of fulfilling quiet times, even praying that prayer, the prayer of relinquishment. Take care, and God bless.